Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Let's review.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Year end review.
Do I do? Yo, yo, what up? Welcome live. Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan. You already know. Your boy Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. It seemed like it's been forever, Maria. You know what I'm saying? At least a month of Sundays before we had a chance to sit down at this very table in this very studio, which I call my trap house. Oh, I lend it to you in the afternoon time, you know what I'm saying? But it's good to be rocking with you today, Maria.
Yes, it has been a while, and it feels like even longer when you miss the person so dearly as we do.
Yeah, I get it, you know what I'm saying? I get it a lot, Maria, you know what I mean?
We go way back. We've had some good moments here in the studio on various programs, and now we get a chance to do this year in review show. I'm pretty excited about it. You know, you requested me.
Yes, I did request
you. So I'm very flattered, and I'm very happy
I'm glad
to be
you,
here.
I figured I would request you, but then you'd be like, I can't make it. I'm super duper busy. You know what
I was psyched. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm available.
Yeah, well, good. Well, there you go. Breaking news.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into it. 2018, sure. Let's get into the year in review, talk about some of the things that happened in the world of sports. Break it down, you know, put some reflection on it, get your opinion on it, see where I stand on a couple of these things. How was your 2018? How did you enjoy the sports scene in 2018?
2018 was wild. It was full of a lot of interesting stories. It was good working in the industry, getting to cover all this stuff. So many good champions that we had this year. I don't know. Let's go. Let's get into it. I think it was all great. I mean, here we are.
So let's start right there with those champions that we had this year. And I think I got to start with the most exciting game, at least in my opinion, of 2018. And it was game one of the NBA Finals.
Oh,
Maria, might be the best. It could be very well the best basketball game I've ever seen. That's how good that game was. I mean, from the opening tip all the way to the drama at the end. And it was, you had the, we knew going into the NBA season, Golden State and Cleveland, the three-peat, the three-match yet again. Let's get it going for a third time, and game one was everything.
Right. I mean, was it third or was it the fourth time now that they were in the finals?
That was the third time they were in the finals.
Well, either way.
You had Golden State won twice, Cleveland won once.
Right.
Golden State
won
once.
Golden State won three times, but twice with KD. So it was the fourth time overall.
No, they only won once.
Dude, they won in 2015. Cleveland won in 2016. And Golden State won 17 and 18. Yes.
Well, they've won three.
Anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
No. They won two with KD, three without.
They won two with KD and then one without him. So that's three. That's right.
Okay.
There you go.
Anyway.
Excuse me.
Fourth time they met. Third championship. What were we saying? Well, what I was going to add was how you said, like, we kind of knew that it was going to be Cleveland Golden State for a fourth time. We actually weren't quite sure at times in the postseason because
I was never tripping off the Houston Rockets. Never. Never at any point was I worried about the Rockets.
I wasn't so much worried about the Rockets. I was worried about the Cavs.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, look, they went to a game seven in Boston. And I do think that if Chris Paul didn't get injured, the Rockets would have actually.
See, I don't look at it that way because I've never. What has Chris Paul done healthy? It's not like Chris Paul is this big championship player that's there all the time, that's there every year. So to me, Chris Paul was just like, and then hurt cats get hurt, and Chris Paul stay hurt.
Yeah.
I think the lights out shooting from Klay Thompson
in
that series. Klay, say what you want to say about him. That kid right there got ice water in his veins.
Oh, no, I love Klay. It pains me that he's having some struggles this season, but. You know, with the Rockets, I felt like it was just the chemistry overall. And the reason that they didn't get there, yes, Chris Paul was injured, but they couldn't shoot at all that game seven of the Western Conference Finals. So, like, they just completely fell apart. You know, they didn't show up.
They've got lucky a couple years ago with Oklahoma City, then got lucky again.
No, I don't say luck. To me, it's not about luck. I mean, yeah, you need a couple things to bounce your way. But greatness, great teams happen because they're great. Like, not because of any other factor. You know, good teams close out games. Good teams close out series. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. And then so that brings us to the finals in game one. I mean, from the opening tip, you knew that you were in for a classic. Steph hits the big shot at the end of the first half. The 50-footer at the end of the first half. We go into halftime. We come out, and then you got the two combatants. They go through it throughout the course of the third quarter, and then the fourth quarter happens. But before we even get to that exchange, the charge blocking foul call.
Yeah,
that should have ended up that the correct call right there, Maria.
Yeah,
I heard this from an NBA referee, Tim Donaghy, who knows something about this stuff. Should have been a jump ball. Instead, possession goes to the Dubs. But now, everybody talks about J.R. Smith and the J.R. Smith play.
Yeah.
George Hill has to make those free throws.
You're 100% right. And it's so funny. I completely forgot about George Hill until you brought it up just now. But when you say, like, this game was so exciting, like, to me, it was because it hit the range of emotions, right? Yes. Like, it was just up, down, like... For me personally, I was in awe that LeBron James basically himself was going up against, you know, four all-stars. And it seemed like him versus the world, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And somehow he was just carrying this team. And we were like, oh, snap, this is about to be the biggest upset ever. Because, I mean, we were thinking probably a sweep anyway.
Yeah, no doubt.
Then, but to come in game one in Oracle, if they would have pulled off that win, it would have changed the whole dynamic of the series. So that was crazy. So but then you're thinking, wow, the Cavs are going to do this. But then, like you said, madness ensues with the free throws missed by George Hill and then J.R. Smith.
The free throw miss, Durant just jumps into the middle of the air, nowhere near the basketball. You know what I'm saying? He flies all over the place. He's nowhere near the play. Didn't box out. Nowhere near the play. And then the ball gets into the hand of J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
Who runs out the clock because he thought it was a tie.
It pains me. I was angry. I was so upset. I was like, you took this gem of a performance by LeBron James and just threw it in the trash. Like, what a waste. Oh, it was terrible. You knew the second they were going to overtime, the Cavs were cooked.
Yeah, no doubt. More or less, when it went to overtime, not only were the Cavs cooked, the series was over at that point. Golden State does what they does.
Yeah.
It was some interesting trash talk at the back end of that game between Klay and Braun and Stephen Braun. So it was interesting in that sense. But then we get to the post game, and it takes an even crazier turn where Smith says, oh, I knew what the score was.
He was BSing. Yeah, come on. Definitely. He's just like, what else? I'm sorry, JR. If you knew what the score was, you would have tried to score the basketball instead of run out to the three-point line. Like, what? And here, what's interesting to me about this, too, is throughout the whole postseason, I know JR has had his moments.
Yeah.
And he is an NBA champion with the Cavs. I'm sitting there thinking, what a waste of space. And I'm sorry. I feel bad because, like, he's a professional basketball player.
Yeah.
But he would, like,
the Jersey guy. He's close to your heart. He's a Jersey guy.
No, don't disrespect my jersey like that.
But J.R. Smith's a Jersey guy.
But, like, he hadn't done anything. He wasn't shooting the ball well. Every time I turned around, it seemed like he made a stupid play. And then this, so the icing on the cake, I was like, J.R., seriously? Like, why? Why?
So
bad.
The reports after the game, yelling and screaming in the Cavalier locker room. LeBron comes to the podium with the short suit on, picks up his purse, walks away, tells the media to do better. And I'm like, this is fresh out of a soap opera right now. This is the wildest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, and if you recall, LeBron later got kind of criticism in the media. Oh, he should have been more of a leader in the timeout. He should have been rallying his troops in the timeout. Like, I don't blame him for that at all.
To the bench, and he says to Ty Lue, we had a timeout? Ty Lue says yes. And he puts his head down like, son, what are you doing? I can't criticize him for that because that moment, you're like, I'm doing this by myself.
I felt for him in that moment, like, so frustrating. And look, LeBron's not perfect, you know, but in that game, he, like you said, he was doing everything and every, like, he was fighting the Warriors and all of their talent and all of their, like, you know, the things that they have going for them. And then at the same time, he's fighting his own teammates and his own coach to get a win. Ugh, just heartbreaking. And then we know the rest.
Well, this is the interesting part about the rest, Maria. At the end of the finals, it comes out that after game one, apparently a blackboard was punched and LeBron James more or less played the whole series with a broken hand.
Yeah.
You buying it?
I don't know. And frankly, I really don't care. Yeah. He was out there. He was doing his thing. It is what it is. To me, it really is inconsequential. Like, it comes out. Like, LeBron has always been very astute, I think, in how he handles the media and how he, like, unleashes certain little nuggets when he wants. And that's fine. I just look at the product on the court.
All right, now, Golden State wins the championship again. Celebration, again. The whole thing.
Yeah.
True NBA dynasty, Dub Dynasty.
Yeah. Then, I know where you're going.
Dub Dynasty. And then we get to free agency.
Yes.
And they steal, legit, Maria stole ski mask, $5 million Boogie Cousins. Now, Boogie, you know, Achilles tendon injury for a big man. You don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. Still one of the best big men in the league. And now he joins this team, and you really legit have a starting five that can be the NBA, the Western Conference All-Star team.
Western Conference All-Star team, Team USA. You and I talked about this after it happened. I think the day after we had a show.
Yeah, you was pretty fired up that day.
Actually, it was your show, and you were like, you could tell that I was fuming a little bit about it. You're like, come on the show.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know if this is a good idea, but.
Your exact words was, it's ruining basketball. I didn't say
it's ruining basketball. That okay. Was like, don't. He said that's no, my listen. Exact words. That's my exact words.
What
my,
were your? The ruining basketball was something that you was adamant.
I mean,
I felt like that's what you were thinking, that it was ruining basketball.
I was just, to me, it just bums me out from a competitive aspect. Like, at some point, I just feel like, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are really, you know, these true competitors at heart. And for someone like that, I just don't know at what point you say, this is getting too easy. And I know that the Warriors have issues this year. I totally get that. And it makes sense because you can only dominate for so long. But here's my thinking. I was actually thinking about this on the way here. Like, is DeMarcus Cousins going to come back
and be the
spark that this team needs to get their stuff together? I don't know. I mean, that might be lofty, but to me, I don't blame the Warriors whatsoever. I think the Warriors are a shrewd organization. They deserve all praise for going out and making their team the best they can make it. They pounced on this opportunity with DeMarcus Cousins. You know, so power to them in that sense. It just, like, if he's in his full health, which even if he's not, I still think it's going to be... he's going to be all right. But to me, it's like, at one point, does this start to get boring? And the finals, while it's been cool, the whole Cavs, Warriors in the finals, LeBron against the Warriors, the past 2 years with Kevin Durant, I'm sorry, the finals were snooze fest.
Okay.
Like,
well, so was game one enough to make up for the snooze fest that the rest of the series was?
Game one... almost. I mean, game one was so much drama and so intense. The rest of it
didn't really matter.
Pretty much
anticlimactic,
to be honest, you know. And that was a complete shock.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the year before, the Warriors just owned. So it was to me, that just is annoying. This is a totally different year now because the West, with LeBron in the West, we're gonna have
and playing well.
Yeah. So finally, I mean, we're gonna have a new finals, which is going to be cool regardless. Yeah. So,
Cavaliers won't be there.
And you sure?
Yeah.
And, you know, looking back, I will say that maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was wrong in a sense, because I do think that the NBA this year is extremely intriguing. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. Now, what happens when Cousins comes back, we'll see. But for now, like, I was shocked that the Rockets kind of fell off.
They're coming back now.
You know, they are. I actually was fighting for the Eastern Conference going into this season because everyone always rips on the East, and I actually think the East is really, really exciting. So to me, I mean, I'm a true, like, I'm a big basketball fan. I just fear for the average fan that's not obsessed with the NBA, you know, how they would feel about, about basically Team USA on Golden State.
Another great game from 2018 was the national, the college football national championship, the University of Alabama and the Georgia Bulldogs. Alabama looked like they weren't going to make the playoff because those two losses late in the season. And then you get to the situation where they do get into the playoffs. They get rid of Clemson. Georgia and Oklahoma State play an amazing game in the Rose Bowl. Georgia gets to it. Alabama gets to it. And Georgia's winning the football game, mainly because, like going into it, a lot of people said, the quarterback play from Alabama was not going to be up to snuff with Jalen Hurt. And Georgia was dragging him. And then Nick Saban, and probably the gutsiest move of all time, benches his starting quarterback at halftime of the national championship game, gives the football to a true freshman, and a star is born.
Amazing. Amazing. I honestly felt that same way watching it. And I'm not as up on college football as I am, say, the NBA, but obviously I watch the big games. I pay attention to what's going on. And like you said, it was just such a bold move. Like, you were just like, oh, okay, they're benching the starting quarterback. Okay. And then, of course, the fact that they take care of business and end up coming back and winning it, it's pretty impressive.
Big time throw in overtime, big time play in overtime. Georgia Bulldogs do not get it done. Alabama goes on to win another NCAA championship. Yeah. Once again in position this year. We just saw a couple weeks ago a rematch in the SEC championship game. This time Tua gets hurt. Hurts comes in and saves the day.
Wow.
Alabama, and just like that, Roll Tide, here we go again. Alabama getting ready for the national semifinal, and Georgia playing in, I believe, the Sugar Bowl.
So one of those bowls.
Is it the Sugar Bowl? I think it is the Sugar Bowl. Whichever one is in the Dome in New Orleans, that's the one that Georgia and Texas will play in.
Yeah.
But they got that game done. For the first time in the NCAA tournament, 16 seed knocks off the 1 seed. University of Maryland, Baltimore County upsets Virginia. 16 taking over a 1. Virginia, a good team, too.
Yes.
Excellent defense, well coached, but on any given Thursday night, Thursday afternoon.
And you're right, first time in the NCAA men's tournament. Not the first time in the women's tournament, just a by the way. But in the men's tournament, this was so crazy. And I covered Virginia like the week before because they had the ACC tournament in Brooklyn. They won that. They were the favorites going in, obviously, the number one overall seed. Like you said, well coached. This was a team that was a lot of people's favorites to win. Massive, stunning upset. I felt really, really bad for those kids. Felt really bad. But
yeah, no, but I listen, you know what? I like their chances again this year. I think they come back and have a strong season. I think that's the Final Four team, even though it looks pretty, you know, it looks like the
they're bringing back some of the same players, and I do think they have a good chance to win. Get to the Final Four.
Take our first break of the program, recapping 2018 in sports. When we come back, a little bit more on the tournament. Got to talk about Sister Jean. Not to mention the Villanova Wildcats. Also, the legend of BDN. Corey Parson, Maria Marino, right here, FNTSY Radio.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day, right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at ITL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they were able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Capital Adams Studio, 34 Midtown Manhattan. Corey Parson, Maria Marino, you already know, recapping the year that was 2018. As always, shout out to the Goon Squad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I don't do that, Maria, they'd be like, why is he ignoring us? You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I gotta make sure I look out for my people. You know what I'm saying? So we get the 16 seed knocking off the one seed in the NCAA tournament. But my God, I was so sick of this Sister Jean. I can't do it. The growth on her face. The old lady out there at the basketball game.
You said it.
The Loyola Chicago thing. Listen, they made it to the Final Four, mid-major, yada, 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 Sister Jean. Every time I turn on the TV, this 97-year-old woman was on the TV.
So
driving Miss Daisy, what are we doing?
I agree that it got a little bit overplayed, the Sister Jean angle of the story. It was cool what the program did and how they made it to the Final Four. But you're right. It wasn't even just sports that were talking about Sister Jean. Like, news programs were, like, talking about Sister Jean.
Everybody,
like,
my grandmother knew who Sister Jean was.
Like, radio shows, like, lifestyle shows. Everybody was talking about Sister Jean. She, like, turned into this iconic figure.
Yeah, no, for real.
Crazy.
Hopefully she's not around for the NCAA tournament this year. I mean, not when I say not around. I mean, hopefully... we don't get beat down by Loyola Chicago. I want Sister Jean to live to be 137 years old.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Just glad
I want her to be the oldest living human being ever. You know what I'm saying? Outside of my granny, I'm rooting for Sister Jean. You feel what I'm saying, Maria?
How old's your granny? That way.
Granny's doing good. She's hanging in there.
All right, good.
Granny is hanging in there. She's not going to be on the damn basketball court, you know what I'm saying, flying all over the country watching college basketball, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good gig, though. What is it, chaplain or something like
whatever
that? Chaplain of a basketball team?
She's living
team?
It up.
She is.
She really is living it up.
I want to go travel with a team.
Not with Sister Jean?
No. That's all right.
You think
I'm good.
Yeah, you and Sister Jean won't really get along?
We might get along, but I'm good.
Villanova Wildcats.
Villanova Wildcats.
Came into the season number one, finished the season number one, and no real doubt in between.
You're right. I mean, I would say that people thought Virginia would be the one to challenge them.
Yeah.
And that, obviously, I wonder how Villanova felt when that happened. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
it's us yeah. now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so they beat? Michigan?
Michigan, who Gabe Morency, buddy, always says this. Michigan's a basketball school. It's not a football school. It's a basketball school.
They are.
School.
You're... Good point.
Yeah.
Good point, Gabe. Yeah. They've been solid. They're solid again this year, but... Nova has really established themselves, I think, as one of those top programs.
Jay Wright coming in and controlling the recruiting scene in Jersey and Philadelphia was amazing.
Right.
For that talent. DiVincenzo, Jalen Burks, Jalen Brunson. They're sending kids to the NBA every year.
Yeah.
Jay Wright got it. He's getting it done.
He did. And what's amazing is there hasn't been a lot of one and dones with him. It's been a lot of cultivating players, getting players like Mikal Bridges to like be great shooters, you know, percentage-wise, like skill-wise, fundamentally very good basketball players, smart players, not necessarily, you know, your freak athletes that are just like, you know, monsters that come
in. He's getting them in the system and he's coaching them up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of credit. DiVincenzo was the star of the game and he came off the bench. And I actually spoke to him over the summer because I do like this NBA rookie event every year. And I said to him, like, you know, what did you learn from that experience? And he was very humble about it. And he kind of was just like, it's not necessarily like, you know, surprising people and doing the unexpected. He's like, I just want to do whatever my team needs me to do to win. And it was really impressive. Really impressive.
Shout out to the Villanova Wildcats on their championship.
Yeah.
Talk about college basketball and championships. Shout out to the Notre Dame women's team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Arike Ogunbowale.
Ogunbowale, not one.
But twice.
But two game-winning shots. She even got, Kobe Bryant was... She's a big Kobe Bryant fan.
Yeah.
Kind of like one of her idols. And so when that happened, it was all like Mamba mentality. People are tweeting at Kobe Bryant. He's like, yeah, we'll win the championship and then we'll talk. And then she goes out
and wins the championship
on another game winner. Oh man, that was amazing. And kind of knocking UConn off the throne for the second straight year. So crazy.
I like it. I'm not a big Gino Auriemma guy.
Oh, yeah? He's got like 20 million champions.
20 million wins.
Just make... What?
Are you a Gino guy?
Gino girl?
Yeah, gal.
Gino gal?
I'm sorry.
I respect Gino.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like, we talk about, you know, when we talk about the Warriors with making like a Team USA with just their starting five, like, you make a WNBA all-star team... Just like entire all-star team, just UConn, and you're probably in pretty good shape. So, like, greatest players of all time have come out of that UConn program for the most part. So you got to have respect.
Shout out to the college champions, get on to the pro level.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Washington Capitals finally getting it done. I lived in that area for years, and they always had these great teams. And Alexander Ovechkin's, they didn't even make the conference finals with those teams. This year, they go all the way, win the Stanley Cup. Ovi's drinking out of it. He's sleeping with it. Every time you saw a picture of the man, he had the Stanley Cup with him. Shout out to them for getting that W. But the story of the NHL last year, which I can care less about, I think just, you know, being a sports fan and seeing the expansion, Golden Knights of Las Vegas, they got it done.
Crazy.
And the atmosphere around the team was, you know, as somebody that doesn't watch Maria, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And could you imagine if they actually pulled it off?
That'd
if they actually
crazy.
Won? Because now you talk about Washington Capitals. I was surprised. That was their first ever championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been around for a long time. They've been a good team for a while. I think the thing with the NHL is it's so hard to win a championship. It's so hard. And if the Golden Knights and their... You know, debut season would
infancy.
Have done it. It would have been like, come on. Like,
yeah,
really?
This is supposed to be difficult.
But still, kudos to them. I mean, the fact that they made it that far all the way to the finals was crazy.
All right, shout out to them.
Yeah.
The legend of BDN, or as I call him, LDN. Carson Wentz, Philadelphia Eagles having a great season. Wentz gets hurt. They become the underdogs. Everybody writes them off every single game. The underdog.
Yep.
In every single game, they get it done. The Minneapolis miracle happens. Okay, that team is going to go into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles. Eagles advance to the Super Bowl. Now, as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm thinking, they're never going to win the championship. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. It won't happen. Nick Foles is a journeyman quarterback. You get the Philly special. You get the sack at the end. You get all the big throws by Nick Foles. Backup quarterback playing with House Money Maria comes in, does his job. And lo and behold, the Philadelphia Eagles are the Super Bowl champions.
It's funny
that's the wildest championship of 2018, the Eagles.
You think?
Yeah, because the Eagles shouldn't be winning championships.
That's true. And to go along with that narrative was when Carson Wentz did get hurt. Because then you're like, oh, here we go again. Philly, they're not going to get it done. But Nick Foles was a very capable backup quarterback. I mean, he's a starting caliber quarterback that was
a
backup.
I don't know about
that. No?
I don't think so. I think he's playing with house money, so it's easy. I think
maybe.
You make him a starter, and it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many times do you see starting quarterbacks go down, the backup come in, and they're completely inept, completely
That's
ineffective?
True, you're right.
However, that being said, I think Nick Foles had the right system around him, the right coach. You know, I think there are certain quarterbacks that wouldn't be the game changer and wouldn't thrive anywhere, and I think he might fall into that category. Dare I say, kind of like a Case Keenum, but in the right situation is a very capable, smart, effective quarterback.
I look at the fact of the job that Frank Reich did, coaching up, getting the playbook ready, shortening it, getting to what Nick Foles liked to do. The fact that Doug Peterson himself, a career backup quarterback, backup quarterbacks have this certain kind of mentality when it comes to working with each other because they know what they're going through, the house money aspect of it. And it was time for the Patriots to fall.
Oh, yeah. And I was okay with it, and you know how I stand. You know, I'm a Giants fan, and you know, Philly, whatever. But I like Carson Wentz. I feel like, how can you not like the guy? I felt bad when he went down because I really thought he should have been the MVP. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see the Patriots lose. I am sick of seeing these freaking Patriots every single year.
Yeah, but do you want to see the Patriots lose to the point where you want to see the Eagles win?
I think so. I think, like, I was okay with, I mean, it was one of the, it was a lose-lose for, like, you and I. But yeah. But at the same time, I was okay. Like, I don't want to see the Patriots win again. Yeah, come on. I've seen this movie over and over and again. Like, the at least the Atlanta game was exciting because it was, like, the Super Bowl in Houston, because that was actually at least, like, the craziest comeback ever, yeah, and first overtime in NFL history. So, like, at least that had an interesting, like, aspect to it. This would have been, like, come on, like,
here we go again.
Yeah.
They get the W. Get the legend is born. Amazingly, the fans don't tear the city apart. They try. You know what I'm saying?
Now, if it was Buffalo.
It would have been wild. It would have been madness. You're right about that.
Yeah, Philly special.
Another impressive champion of 2018. It was a bad year for us, Maria, when it came to the champions. 108 wins and 54 losses. Unch just ran through the Major League Baseball playoffs. And, the champions.
Yeah, Red Sox. They did it again. Dare I say, they have been the most dominant team of the last 15 years.
Oh, God.
I know. I know. My ears are burning. Well, what can I say? Yankees got work to do.
No, they do. You know what I'm saying? Up and down the lineup, the pitching, the coaching, the whole thing.
Totally.
It was a disaster.
But you know what? They were the best team all year. They really were. And they went into the postseason and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. And they made the right moves, bringing in the right people. Like you said, managing wise, they made some bold, interesting choices that paid off for them throughout the postseason. Dodgers never felt like they had a chance. They lose it in the big show twice in a row.
And Mary Hart couldn't pull it off. You know what I'm saying? as hard as they tried, she was out there lit that one night. I believe that was at that Saturday night game. Mary Hart was behind the dugout. Behind the catcher. She was drunk as a skunk. You know what I mean? And Larry King looked like somebody dug him up. I hate to say that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just keeping it 100.
Between that and whether Sister Jean's going to be around.
Yeah. I wish both of them nothing but the best.
Yes.
The other story in Major League Baseball, one of the big stories of the season was the phenom Shohei Ohtani. Yes.
Ohtani.
Pitcher. Batter. Can do both well.
Yes, yes.
Ended up getting the injury, but still was able to, you know, saw him down the stretch, swing the bat. Don't know what it's going to be with his pitching. The Angels of Anaheim and Ohtani. Hey, it was a story, you know what I'm saying?
It was a total story, and it's cool because you just rarely see pitchers hitting like that. I mean, you think back to Babe Ruth. I know it sounds crazy, but like that's like the last time you really think of like somebody like that. So I think you had this intrigue.
Nobody here ever saw Babe Ruth.
I know, but but they know the legend of the Babe. You know what I'm saying?
I question it. I'm not a Babe Ruth guy.
Not really.
I said it. I said it on the show on the morning after. Babe Ruth is a baseball Santa Claus. You know what I mean? I'm not buying the thing at the Babe Ruth thing. Ohtani's the real deal.
Okay, Ohtani, you see him with your own eyes. However, I feel like the novelty of that situation kind of robbed Miguel Andujar of Rookie of the Year. I'm sorry. I mean, he was injured. Ohtani was for a lot of the year, and so I'm not really a fan of that.
Andujar, Labor Day, the whole thing.
Yeah.
You do got some good young players in the Bronx that they're cultivating and coming up nice. Going to be interesting to see if they can keep it together. probably the most hyped debut of any professional sports league, in my opinion, since LeBron James, was Saquon Barkley. And us being New Yorkers, here in this city, New York Giants being your team, me being a fantasy guy, it was worth the hype. He really lived up to it. The kid is and I hate to say it, son is amazing. Saquon Barkley is the real deal.
He is the real deal. I feel like, as a Giants fan, I feel so lucky to have him because of his character and how he carries himself. And then on top of it, his performance on the field. Unfortunately, it's been marred by another disgraceful season by the New York Giants. And I feel bad that the Giants also, you know, they get heat for whether or not they should have taken a quarterback, which is a fair argument. But at the same time, I don't want to take away from the greatness that is Saquon Barkley and that he is a generational talent. And I hope that he will have a great career and that his first couple years aren't going to be kind of wasted. So it's kind of like a bittersweet thing for me because I love Saquon Barkley. I, like you said, real deal, character, talent, all everything you want in your young stud rookie, yeah. It's like face of the league type of player. And now you just wonder, well, what are the Giants going to be able to do? So that's,
looks
that's
like
the reality.
Looks like they're
going to
bring Eli Manning back.
And then, exactly.
And that's, and then you know what's going to happen after that. I can almost tell you what's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to be sound like it's going to sound a lot like 6-10.
But I remember what's crazy about Saquon, like going into fantasy football drafts, how he was getting drafted so high. And I did actually an auction draft for the first time this year. And the people were bidding on him. I was like, I understand why, but at the same time, like, he's never played a snap in the NFL, and we are like declaring him, but he did it. He lived up to the expectations.
Another guy that lived up to the expectations, the NFL's number one overall draft pick. I thought he would be a
New
York Jet.
Did you say draft prick?
Draft pick, excuse me. Somebody say draft prick. You know what I'm saying? Gabe calls him Bandana Boy. But listen, no, Baker Mayfield is getting wins.
I have no problem with Baker Mayfield. Let me just go on the record and say that. I have no problem with it. I think it's great. I think it's great. A little bit of a tough break for Hugh Jackson, but at the same
time. Tough break.
Just in terms of like, you know, people are criticizing Baker for like looking at Hugh and being like, oh, whatever, yeah. Whatever. I'm cool with it. You do you, Baker Mayfield. But what's interesting is, you know, he comes in after Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, beats the Jets on Thursday Night Football, and you're like, whoa, this kid.
Why wasn't, and that's the thing, I think his beef with Hugh Jackson was, I should have been playing from week one.
Fine.
And I think he held that against Hugh Jackson.
And you know what? And again, I'm okay with that. Like, yeah, me too. I'm okay with an athlete being like, I'm the best. And I want to play. I'm totally cool with that. And then again, that's, we don't know for sure if that's exactly what's behind it, but still, I'm good with it. Cleveland.
Who's the rookie of the year? Is it Baker or Barkley?
That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. I want to say Saquon, but I understand the argument for Baker just being that Cleveland was completely nothing.
Cleveland.
I mean, and he made it so exciting. I don't know. Who do you think?
I would say Barkley, but I do think Baker makes it close. Oh. The NBA Rookie of the Year debate, Donovan Mitchell. You know why?
Yeah.
Because Ben Simmons got paid that year he was hurt. He was an NBA ball player that
But according to the rules, Ben Simmons is a rookie.
The rule is wrong.
So then change the rule and then complain about who wins it. Okay. Like in other words, if we're grading them based on they're both rookies,
yeah,
and this is their first year playing, then to me, Ben Simmons had the better year. But if you want to change the rule.
Who had the better playoffs? Ben Simmons had a game in the playoffs where he scored 1 point.
Regular season award. Sorry.
I get what you're saying.
It's voted
but
before the playoffs go. Yeah. So that's unfortunately, it's irrelevant. Jason Tatum probably had the best playoffs of anybody. But regular season. And don't forget what Ben did. Well, end of the season on like, 16, 17 game win streak without Joel Embiid for most of that. Ran the offense. I was very, very impressed. And on top of that, he was averaging close to the same amount of points, but then in rebounds and assists was also doing more. He could do so many multiple things.
He can't shoot a jumper though.
No, he cannot.
No,
cannot.
He can't do that. He refuses to even try to do that. And my man Spade Mitchell can't do that.
He can.
I think the rule
needs
to be changed.
Don't get me wrong. Love Spider.
When we come back on the other side, got the controversies of 2018 to get into. Plus, we're mixing a little Le'Veon Bell, and you can make a legal wager on a sports contest. It is the Year in Review. Corey Parson, Maria Marino, Studio 34. Let's go.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections, and now the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Lumber Liquidators is celebrating the opening of our 400th store, so we're putting over 400 floors on sale. That means huge savings for you. Get pre-finished hardwood and bamboo up to 36% off, including new styles like Mediterranean maple and bestsellers like Silver Stone Bamboo. Take 25% off all Dream Home laminate and 10 to 15% off our best waterproof floors. More from just 49 cents, plus special financing and professional installation. Hurry, get to your local Lumber Liquidators today.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day, right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at ITL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Big Pimpin' right here live from Studio 34, Midtown Manhattan. Corey Parson, Maria Marino, recapping the sports year that was 2018. Make sure you hit us up all the time. Catch all the work right here from FNTSY, FNTSY on YouTube. Subscribe, hit the like button, the whole deal. We appreciate that a lot. No sports year goes through without controversies and things that transcend sports. And just because of the way it is right now in the country that we are in, it happens a lot, and athletes are speaking up and talking more, and athletes have more of a say, and it's kind of like, okay, if I agree with what Coach Pop is saying, you should talk more. If I disagree with what Kurt Schilling is saying, you should do less. Fox News Network host Laura Ingraham actually made some news in the sports world this year when being critical of LeBron James, said that he should, shut up and dribble.
Shut up and dribble. Oh. Yeah. Just hearing it really makes me cringe. Like, I just can't. Like, that to me is like you're saying that an athlete is nothing but their sport. They don't have thoughts and opinions on things outside of their sport. It's just ridiculous. You and I work in sports media, mm-hmm. but there's people out there, whatever your profession is, if you're a dentist, if you're a doctor, if you work in construction, whatever your job is, what is that only your job? And you can't have opinions and thoughts on politics and issues that matter with the world? So that's really what it comes down to.
It sucks, you know what I'm saying? It became a big story. He goes on to more or less already being in a philanthropist, opening up the school.
Yes.
We've seen everything. The cat is like a real-life superhero to some people, you know what I'm saying?
He absolutely is.
But it's a lot of people that dislike LeBron James also.
Fine. And that's what happens when you're a prominent figure. Regardless, you're going to have people that are quote-unquote haters. But LeBron, to me... even if you're not a fan of LeBron, the athlete, and some people think of him as kind of like that martyr sort of figure, but what he has done for so many people, like you said, the philanthropic efforts, and he's somebody that was raised by a single mom, made himself into something amazing, has given back in a lot of ways, takes care of his friends and people around him that make him better, and I just feel like he deserves a lot of respect, more respect than that, for who he is as a person, not just an athlete.
Yeah, I get it. And you see the brand he has now with him, Maverick, and Ron and Rich.
Yeah.
Ron and Rich, making sure. I get their names mixed up.
I don't even know.
I know it's Maverick.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know it's Rich, his three-man group right there.
But I think,
Ron, whatever the case may be.
I just respect LeBron a lot because not every athlete is as outspoken as he is about issues that he cares about, and he understands the weight that he carries and the influence that he carries, and he uses that, I think, in an effective and productive way.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, you know, there have been athletes in the past that shy away from things like that.
Michael Jordan. That's fine.
I don't hold it against anyone, but exactly. I do respect LeBron for being like, this is what I think, and I'm a person.
I'm not going to shut up and dribble, more or less.
Exactly. Not going to shut up and dribble. And you know what? Like, I feel like that with so many other groups of people as well. Like, dribble, basketball is just like the metaphor, or whatever you want to call it. Like, there's so many things you could apply that to.
No doubt about it. Shut up and dribble. Be going to the situation. Big story this year. Nike's ad campaign with Colin Kaepernick. More or less saying that, you know, Colin Kaepernick, if you don't stand for anything, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
Nike takes a lot of backlash. Obviously, people don't like Colin Kaepernick and, you know, his situation with the NFL. He's still out the NFL. It looks like it's a good chance he could win his collusion case against the NFL. The big billboard is right outside the studio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, it is what it is. It was controversial. Yeah. People burning Nikes, throwing away Nike gears, and Nike stock going up. So it's two sides to every story. Do you think that Nike was taking advantage of the situation, saying, you know what, the people that buy our product, they're going to like this? Or do you think Nike said, you know what, we're standing with you, Colin Kaepernick. We see what you're trying to do. I thought the commercial was excellent.
Yeah, the commercial was excellent. They might have been opportunistic about it. But at the same time, I think there was definitely risk involved. It's not even just the Colin Kaepernick campaign. If you look around and if you look at the billboard outside our studio, like they use that theme with all of these different athletes.
Yeah.
All these athletes that have overcome adversity and overcome odds and have like made it, so to speak. And Colin Kaepernick just so happens to be the example that is so controversial because of everything with the protests of the national anthem during NFL games. And, you know, whether or not you agree with the method of protest, I think we can all agree that the cause is, I mean, if you don't think the cause is just, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it's weird, like, when you were just explaining it, like, I just, like, got chills thinking about it, like, thinking about that ad, because I just think we're going to look back on this and say, like, what Colin Kaepernick did was, like, pretty amazing, and he wasn't perfect about it. He has his flaws, and there are things he could have gone about better.
Yeah.
But the initial act and how he did listen to people that are veterans and people, you know, former Green Beret that was NFL player, like things like that. He took people's thoughts into account. He adjusted to taking a knee because he viewed that as a respectful gesture.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to be a tough issue that a lot of people aren't going to agree on, but we are talking about it.
Yeah, and that's,
you and I are talking about it years later. When it happened, I thought, could there have been a better method? Maybe, but would we be talking about it as much?
Yeah, there you
probably
go.
Probably not.
You know, and what's interesting is, like you said, we're talking about the sports stories of the year in 2018, and that made the list right there, and kind of it would be remiss if we didn't. Another thing that's going to make the list, and I said this when it happened, I was working with Craig, and we had a disagreement on it like we did on a lot of these things. Outside of the New England Patriots, NFL, NBA champions, I think they're skipping the White House deal. I think they're skipping it.
Uh-huh.
The Eagles were a no-show last year. Clearly, the Golden State Warriors weren't going to go. I don't even think they were even invited. The Boston Red Sox will go if they haven't been already. The Washington Capitals, obviously being right there in town, they went. But when this comes, do you think that, I don't think we'll ever get to the point where a league will say it's mandatory to go to the White House. Nobody really knows how this tradition started.
Yeah.
But what do you think about, you know, teams or players saying, you know what, I'm not going to that?
It's interesting. It's funny how there was never a rule in place. It's kind of like how it was with the national anthem with the NFL. To be honest, now after the fact, you're thinking, should we put a rule? I don't think you can go back and put a rule now. I think it's kind of too late. You know, it's really tough because, like, I've never been to the White House.
Yeah,
I think it's so cool. Like, I really want to go. Like, I really want to go, like, be a tourist and whatever. But
maybe it's cool if, like, you go and don't meet the president. Maybe teams will start doing that. Let's just take the pictures at the White House. You know what I'm saying?
And I completely understand somebody like Steph Curry, who I have immense respect for. Now, we talk about LeBron before as using his voice. I think Steph is 100% the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I respect him very, very much. And he has certain issues that he cares about that he speaks up about. It's funny, like, Curry came out and said he wasn't going to go to the White House.
Yeah.
And then President Trump was like, well, you're not invited.
You're not invited.
And then LeBron was like, well, he already said he wasn't going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Um,
and you're like, this was Saturday morning when this story broke. And I'm on Twitter like, what the hell is going on? You know what I'm saying? Why is the leader of the free world like, tweeting at Steph Curry?
I feel like Steph, like, to me, he just, like, embodies, like, good. Like, he's just, to me, is, like, a symbol of good.
Family and,
like,
man, I respect, you know what I'm saying? The beautiful kid.
So, I respect his decision. Like. But I also do think that someone's decision to go to the White House if they've won a championship.
It should not be held against
yeah, exactly, them. And it's still our president. And it's still, you know, an honor that you get to do this. So, I'm good with it, you know.
Another person who likely probably won't go to the White House is Serena Williams. She made her own bit of news this year also. I think the Associated Press now announced her the female athlete of the year. But the U.S. Open women's final against Naomi Osaka, she gets the two fouls. Maria, I'm sitting up here watching this. And like, oh my God, this is madness. What's going on right now? And I don't really watch the U.S. Open women's final. It's not like the things that I watch. But just flipping through it, I happened to caught it and seeing what's going on and watching how this whole thing played out. And I'm like, we're looking at like a legendary moment in the history of a legendary athlete. The greatest women athlete of all time.
I know. It really, really was crazy. And I think part of my issue with the whole thing, I understand Serena was partly in the wrong with some of her actions. You could say we're a little bit over the top. However, I just think she got completely hosed. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. Do I think Naomi Osaka was going to win anyway and was outplaying
her?
Yes. But you, as an official, to dock someone a game.
Yeah.
To dock someone a game is a huge, huge swing. And I just felt that someone, an athlete of her caliber that's done so much for the sport of tennis, for women and men, and who's the, like one of the all-time winningest players of all, like, shouldn't that person get a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt? Shouldn't that person get a little bit more respect in that situation?
It's like throwing Steph Curry out of game 7.
Yeah, but worse. Worse.
Because Steph Curry has teammates.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and on top of it, I personally have an issue with people that feel female athletes in particular shouldn't or aren't inherently as passionate or fiery or as competitive as male athletes. And now you could probably guess how I am when I play sports, Corey. We work together. Like, I get fired up. I yell.
Yeah.
I swear occasionally. I'm not proud of it.
Yeah.
I occasionally do things that make me look silly because I get so competitive and so like, ah. But, you know, I think sometimes we're not always used to seeing female athletes do that. And I don't think it's fair.
You told
a
story when we were sitting out there about the WNBA. Let them know. That I found this to be very interesting.
Yeah. So I covered the WNBA a lot this year for Fantasy Sports Network. I did daily videos for FanDuel, actually. Daily fantasy, super fun. And it was the first time I really got really, you know, knee deep in the WNBA. And I find it so interesting. They had a player that came from Australia, Liz Cambage, and she was an MVP candidate type player, really changed the game. And it's just interesting because women basketball players in particular don't seem to garner the same respect here in the States as they do around the world, which is insane. She was offended by all of the foul calls, all the technical foul calls. At one point, she led the league in technical fouls, her and Diana Taurasi.
She was like Rasheed Wallace, basically.
Yeah, but Taurasi, too, is the same type of player. You watch her play, she is like that sniper, that like fiery, like she gets pissed off, she'll yell at the refs, like a Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Totally like, but also a better, technically like a better player in her respective, you know, category, but Cambage came out and made a statement like, I feel that the refs want us to play a certain way, want us to play buttoned up more like feminine or something like that. And I don't even think that's the right word because that shouldn't be attributed to feminine at all.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I get what like, you're saying. They're more or less saying, well, as a female athlete, you shouldn't be out here hollering and screaming at me.
And I'm not saying that's necessarily what happened. I'm just saying that was her take on it.
I think she probably knows what she's talking about.
That was her take where she was like, why can't I say this?
Yeah.
What, like, I look at you funny and I get a technical foul? Like, why can't I have more
I think the men probably would say the same thing, too, though. You know what I'm saying? Because Obviously, the refs versus the players were a big thing in the NBA this year. Yeah. Sometimes it seems like the refs try to steal the show, and I think that's what that line judge did with Serena in that instance. But what I didn't like about it was the young girl winning her first major, Osaka, a Grand Slam, whatever the case, whatever they call that in tennis, and she was apologizing for winning.
I felt very...
I was heartbroken because of that.
It was heartbreaking, and it was unfortunate that she sort of stole the spot. The spotlight was sort of stolen from her, is what I mean. And Serena, you know, to her credit, tried to, in the award ceremony, tried to say, like, you know, this is her moment. This is her first Grand Slam title, you know, and the crowd kind of cheered up after that. I felt like they shouldn't have really been booing her. It was just a brutal situation.
They weren't booing her. They were booing the situation. Yeah. But she's up there and she's crying and I'm like, oh my God, this is...
I know.
It's too much for you, Maria.
Oh, you know me. I'm going to get emotional. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is what I think
was
lost. She's
going to be a star for years to come.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah. She's young. She deserved to win. Like I said, I just think... if that were Federer or Nadal or somebody else, they would have gotten more benefit of the doubt than Serena did in that instance. And she is the greatest to ever do it. Yeah. I mean, like, if she doesn't do whatever, just don't take a game. Like, come on.
Yeah. And like I said, the other issue
was just more like the stereotype of how a female athlete should be. That's really what it comes down to.
No doubt about it. So there you go. That's
big
some
stuff.
Of the, listen, it's interesting.
I feel like I'm bearing my soul on this program.
No. This is what we want you to do.
I know.
This is why I said give me Maria so I can look inside her soul and see what she has.
You are. It's therapeutic. It's very therapeutic for me. It's
like, I am the Fantasy Sports Network's Oprah Winfrey.
This is like the end of the year, like cleansing.
Yes, Get it all out. Let it all go. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Everything that we saw.
You got it.
Let's get a couple quick hitters in here right here now. Le'Veon Bell.
Lev Bell.
Good for the NFL? Is he going to change it for NFL players or is it going to be more of the same old, you know what?
Unfortunately, I want to say it will change because I do think, I understand his argument. I really do. I don't hold it against him for trying to get what he's...
The top paid running back make the same money as Ja Ja Pachulia.
Well, indeed. And also, like, but I think what's going to hurt him is the fact that you have other running backs come in, they do all right, blah, blah, blah. Oh, maybe he's not as valuable. Like, all these things are going to hurt his
case.
And the idea that he's not a team player.
Yeah. I think what's also going to hurt Lev Bell is I think the owners are going to come together and say, if somebody pays him more than what Pittsburgh was offering, you're going to start to see other players do the same thing. Sit out a year, save themselves, and then go get their money. And NFL owners do not want that.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that situation plays out. Not to mention the fact we got a younger player with less injuries, less drug abuse in Kareem Hunt, who has his own issues, but he's going to be on the market too.
I understand. It's going to be a mess.
Yeah, exactly. You can now place a legal sports wager in the state of New Jersey and other states.
We probably
should have
left some more time for this, but
probably should've.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of a big deal
for our network.
Yeah, but we doing it. You know, have you done it yet?
No.
What you got?
Only on FanDuel on the app.
Okay.
I've done daily. Yeah, maybe I have a little bit. I don't know.
John Gruden back. The situation in Oakland.
What was John Gruden thinking? He has the cushiest job ever. Like now, you have a terrible job. This is going to be brutal.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be ugly.
The guy that might be the player of 2019, a year from now, when we come back and we're sitting here talking about what happened in 2019, I think we might be leading the show off with Zion Williamson.
I hope so. He's a freak. I hope he comes to New York. I'm not getting my hopes up, though, because the Knicks will find some way to not get the top
Gabe
pick,
made so. The comment. Gabe made the great. If Zion Williamson's a New York Knick, I'll find my Knick hat. For the lovely and talented Maria Marino, I'm Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. That's a 2018 year review. We out.
Thanks.